look at this new chapter that we're going to be going in here this morning, Matthew 21. And I'd like to read the first 9 verses, if I could. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage. Now, Bethpage, just in passing, simply means house of unripe figs. And there's a kind of a little allegory even behind that. The fact that Jesus, when he left Jerusalem with his disciples one time, headed toward Bethany, I believe it was, he came across this fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit. The fig tree is a national symbol of Israel, and it really spoke of the people of Israel. They weren't bearing fruit. And see, God's looking for fruit not only in their lives, but in the lives of true believers too. And then that fruit is simply the life, the attributes of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say here that at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." And so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, for those who don't know what Hosanna means, it simply means "save now." You see, they were looking for the Messiah to come, especially in this particular time, to deliver them from the oppression and bondage of the Romans. And so, as we look at this, there are some interesting things we want to point out to you, how this speaks of not only the Lord's plan for you and I, but even this donkey speaks of you and I. And we're going to talk about that. Let's ask God's blessing upon this word. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing, brother? You know, as I read this and began to ponder it, I couldn't think about, you know, this owner of this donkey. Wouldn't you love to be able to just talk to the owner of this donkey and just ask him some questions, you know? Well, we don't even know the man's name. We don't know what he looks like or anything about him. The only thing that we know was that he was willing to give his donkey for the master's use. Think about that for a moment. Because I think that's very important for us, the lesson that we're going to learn here. We know that he gave this donkey on that very day when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which might have been one of the most important days of his entire ministry, because it's that day that he presents himself as the Mashiach Nagad, or Nagid, which is Messiah the King. And, you know, there's a lot of questions I'd like to ask this man, you know? Like, for example, how in the world did you know that Jesus wanted to use your donkey? Did it bother you that Jesus wanted to use your donkey? And then I think even furthermore than that is that when you saw Jesus riding this donkey with people shouting, "Hosanna," how did that make you feel? Because they were proclaiming him as king. I think he might have got a little excited, don't you? But you know, we are not unlike this unnamed man. A lot of us, in particular. You know, we're behind the scenes a lot of times and we don't want to stand out. That can be good in ways, but that can be bad in ways too. If you take on the mentality of, "What can I do?" That's not a good thing. Because God's looking for people who are willing to work for the kingdom of God. Amen? Have you ever felt like that God wanted you to do something and you just simply didn't do it for some reason? And then later on you realized that you had missed out on something that would have been a great blessing for not only the church, but for maybe another individual. You know, think about that for a moment. Sometimes we don't do things just simply out of pure selfishness. We feel like, well, I don't have to do it, so I'm not going to. But there are times, occasionally, unfortunately sometimes they are few, that we hear God asking us to do something that we actually step out and actually follow through and do it. And we feel honored that God has used us. I was talking to Natalie yesterday, and she was telling me about how that God had used her to get a ministry that she's involved with back on track by confirming a word to one of the leaders of the group. You feel honored that God would use you like that. That He would use you like this donkey, so to speak, to help bring Jesus, help carry Jesus into another place. That's really what it's about. Truth is, we all have a donkey. Do you realize that? You might say that donkey really represents the time, the talents, whatever we have that's about our being that we could offer up to the Lord for His use. There's always something that we could use of our lives and of our talents and our abilities that will carry Jesus to the place that He desires. And lift Him up so that the people could see the King. Amen? What is it you have? That's the question this morning. It may be that you have a gift of song and you've just been hiding it, hanging your harp up on the tree, so to speak, and not using that gift that God has given you. It simply could be something that is as simple as reaching out to somebody that you see hurting. But you know that if you just simply gave them a smile, it would do them a world of good. Sometimes people just need a hug. You ever been there? Man, I'd give anything for just somebody just to act like they understand. You know? Some people, I believe, are discerning about those things. But they don't use that because they feel like, well, I don't really have to. Or I don't want to step out like that because I don't want to put myself out there where I'm vulnerable to rejection, you know. But the truth is, folks, we've got to be willing. When the Lord calls us to use any ability, any talent, just like He said to this man, if anybody asks you, tell them the Master has need of it. That you say, okay, Lord, here it is. I love looking at the book of Isaiah. Whenever Isaiah said he saw the Lord in the temple, and He was high and lifted up, and the Lord said, who will go for me? Whom will I send? And I like Isaiah, it's kind of like, send me. How wonderful would it be if when God said to you and I, who will I send, that we did that very same thing. As a result, Isaiah got blessed. He got touched from an altar, a coal from off the altar. And the presence of the Lord overwhelmed him, and he became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Mightily used to the Lord. He was able to carry the Lord to the people of Israel, Jerusalem. Great prophecies. My goodness, things that he prophesied had to do with the Babylonians even coming in to take over, the Assyrians. No, not the Assyrians. Help me, somebody. The Persians. The Persians coming and conquering the city of Babylon. 200 years after the fact. And mentioning 200 years beforehand the actual conqueror, Cyrus, by name. You think that might have got his attention? What would have happened if he would have said, you know what, I don't have to do this, so I'm just going to coast? That wouldn't have happened. Amen? Like I said, it might be just something as far as just giving a little time. Whatever you have to give, that's your donkey, so to speak. And it could be, if Charlene's not here today, but it could be that the Lord wants you to carry him into other nations as a missionary. Maybe simply into another city. Maybe it could be just to the neighbor next door. Would you carry him there? Or would you hesitate? You know, the scripture is full of the little things that people had that they used, that a big God used in a miraculous way. You think about Rahab, for example, that red cord that she simply put out her window by faith, how it saved her family. It was just a cord. I mean, the scripture's full of these things. The bucket that Paul was let down from the wall of Damascus saved his life. That bucket. But God used it. You got Samson. Samson surrounded by the Philistine army, and he doesn't have any weapons. He looks down and he sees a jawbone of an ass. Not a whole lot, right? But God uses it and turns it into a great miracle and defeats the Philistine army. I mean, go on and on. David's sling. Amen? Moses' rod. So many things. And it might not just be an object. It might be an action. Like Simon of Cyrene, just simply carrying the cross of Christ for him. So many things. All of these things, when given to God, he can turn into a great miracle. So we shouldn't say, who am I? What can I do that God could use me? I've shared this illustration with you before, but I'm going to do it again for the purpose of this message. Many of you probably have heard it. But there was a Sunday school teacher by the name of Kimball who led this Boston shoe store clerk to the Lord, a man by the name of Dwight Moody. Moody became then an evangelist, and he influenced a man by the name of Frederick Meyer. Meyer began to preach on college campuses and converted Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became involved with the YMCA and arranged for a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday to speak at a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. The revival went so well that the town leader scheduled another meeting and brought in a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. He came in there to preach, and as a result, in that revival, a young man by the name of Billy Graham gave his heart and life to the Lord. You see, I'm sure that this man had no idea that he was going to have such an impact upon the whole world when he led that young shoe store clerk to the Lord. So the question you need to ask yourself this morning, what does your donkey look like? What is it that the Lord is asking of you? Now, the guy with this donkey, he didn't realize it. He may have, I don't know, but I don't think he did. That he was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy about the king coming. This was prophesied in Zechariah 9, verse 9 through 10. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. And he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." Now that's the first part that's fulfilled. But there's a second part yet to be fulfilled. "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth." There's coming a time when the Lord is going to come as that conquering king riding a white stallion. That's when that will be fulfilled. Folks, if we knew that the giving of our donkey, I believe that most of us who are Christians here, if we knew that it would hasten the time for the Lord's return, we would be quick to give it, right? I'd like to think that of us. But the truth is, we really never know the full significance of what we give to God. And again, like I said, we also oftentimes we fall into that attitude of, who am I that God could use me? Consider that there are a lot of men of God, great men of God, who ask those same kind of questions. I'm going to give you a couple for example. How about Moses? Moses, as he's the Lord speaking to him from that burning bush, listen to what Moses says. Exodus 3:11, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Then you have David. After the prophet Nathan comes and speaks to him, David says these words in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18 through 22. "Then King David went and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this is a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And now what more can David say to you, O Lord? For you, Lord God, know your servant.'" You see what I'm saying here? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. The Lord is able to forgive. And once the Lord forgives you, He wants you to submit yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And when the Lord calls upon you and says, "I want you to go and bake a loaf of bread and take it to this person over here, because they just need somebody to love on them a little bit." That if you do that, that's equally the same as untying that donkey. Amen. It's being used of the master. And what a work will be done. And so oftentimes we think, unless we can do some great monumental thing, that we can't be used of God. Even here we look at, you know, the fact, a donkey. You know, why not a white stallion? This is a king. Why not one of those great majestic camels? You know, all decked out in velvet and all those trinkets that they have on them. I mean, if it boils right down to us in the flesh, we look at this and we think, man, I'd rather be riding a broken down mare than a donkey. You think about a donkey. What's the first thing you think about when you think about a donkey? Stubborn, right? Stinky. Is that a picture of you and I? I think it is. I really do. Truth is, this event was truly an amazing event that took place here. Here the king comes, as predicted, and it just seems silly to a lot of people. God's chosen this way to fulfill His prophecy, because there can be no mistake of who Jesus is, right? I mean, it's not every day that they saw people shouting to the top of their lungs, "Hosanna," seeing a donkey right into Jerusalem carrying a man. But that is exactly how the Word of God says that Jesus would be presented as the king. Now, if God can use this stinky little donkey in fulfillment of this triumphal entry, God has a plan for you also. Believe me, He does. If you're a part of God's church, He's got a plan for you. Something that you can do. A gift somehow, somewhere, somehow He wants to use you in the lives of other people so that He can, again, carry you into their hearts and into their lives to present Jesus. The thing that I think is important to remember also, not only the fact that this donkey, the donkey's known to be stubborn, stinky, is that this donkey had never been ridden. And it's amazing how that this donkey could be so calm in the midst of all those shouting people. And so many times people say, "Well, I just don't have the ability to speak to others. I don't think I can do it. I'll be a nervous wreck." But listen, if you got Jesus with you, He'll calm you. He'll give you the peace. The Bible says, don't take any thought of what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in that day. And as far as the stinkiness goes, believe me, when you've got Jesus on your back riding you and you're clothed, and I believe it speaks of His righteousness, what a wonderful fragrance Jesus is, amen? And He can mask the smell of any hardened sinner, amen? Thank God for His covering. Thank God for His covering. Now, a couple other things I want to show is the fact that this donkey was selected by prearrangement. How many of you think that you came to the Lord of your own accord? And again, reading Matthew 21, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.'" Now, God could have spoken to this man in a dream, or he simply could have spoke to his heart. But then, you know, there's the plain old obvious. Jesus might have just went and made prearrangements by just speaking to the man, right? Whatever it was, there was arrangements made that this donkey was going to be used for a noble purpose. 550 years before Zechariah prophesied about this little donkey, God had a plan that this little donkey was going to be selected to be a part of his plan. And God has selected you also for a reason and for a purpose. Let me give you some scripture. John 15:16, Jesus spoke to his disciples these words, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give you." Now, a lot of people say, well, he's just talking to the disciples here, right? Is he? Again, if you prove Scripture with Scripture, you'll find that this is something really for the whole church. So we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for" what? "Good works, which God prepared" when? "Beforehand, that we should walk in them." Does that tell you that God has a plan for your life? But you have free will too. You have a choice. He doesn't make anybody. Now the second thing is the fact that God has desired us to be sanctified, to be preserved from the ways of the world, that he might use us. These animals in Jewish tradition were often set apart, and they had a special religious significance. They were never ridden, you know, and they weren't to be used for a worldly purpose. In the same way, we who are Christians are to be separated from the world so that we can be useful for the Lord too. And the Bible tells us that when you come into the faith, God accepts everybody into the faith. But we are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. We are to sanctify ourselves, make ourselves ready, a vessel to be used of the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for" what? "Honor, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." I hope you all see this. The third thing that I think we need to look at is the fact that donkey needs to be sanctified, set apart. The donkey needs to also be satisfied to play the role of a humble servant. Just like this owner even, too. His job was simply to lift up Jesus so that the crowds could see the king as they passed by. We have a similar role, to lift up Jesus and see to it that he is exalted. Amen? People can see him in us. The Apostle Paul would write this in Galatians 6 and 14. "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You see, we're not to exalt in ourselves, in our own spirituality, but we're to lift up Jesus and allow all the world to see. Jesus warned us in his Sermon on the Mount not to be like the religious people of that day who loved to be seen of men, liked his people to see their good deeds. The good works that the Lord's prepared for us in abundance are for one purpose and one purpose only, to bring glory to his name. That's their purpose. And to be like this donkey, we must be satisfied with being a part of that plan, as being humble and not trying to get the limelight. Like I said before, the donkey really is a wonderful type of who you and I were. Stubborn, smelly. Think about this donkey. It was tied up. There's so many people who are tied up in bondage to those things of the world that keep them from being used by the master. But you see, the disciples went and they loosed him. And that's when he was able to be used. He was set free. There's a lot of people who think, oh, I'm free to do whatever I want. I can go drink, I can party, I can do drugs, do anything I want to. I've got such a liberty and freedom. No, you're in bondage. You can't break free from it. There's a lot of people who say they're free, but they can't sleep at night because of the things that they have done. I'm telling you, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Amen? Free indeed. The Lord, he could have chosen that stallion. He could have chosen something else, like a camel or something. But he chose this donkey. Again, you have been selected from him to fulfill a part of his plan, prepared in advance for you. You've been prepared to fulfill this role that he's called you to be sanctified, prepared for that service by separating yourself from the world's evil and committing yourself to him. And you must be sanctified to take the role of a servant, fulfilling God's plan for God's glory and not for your own. Now, this donkey was clothed, right? You need Christ's righteousness. You need to be clothed with Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many as you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Amen. You look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, talking about when Jesus returns and dealing with the nation of Israel. One of the things he's going to be doing when he comes, not only did he establish the first part of it, but he's going to bring the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, the Bible tells us that you and I, we need to be offering constantly the fruit of the lips, that garment of praise. You know, and as we're praising the Lord, just as they were praising the Lord, bringing him into Jerusalem like that, that got the attention of the world. One of the sad things I see today is that the church is conspicuously silent when it comes to lifting up the name of Jesus. Yes, there are some who do. But if the church as a total and as a whole would lift up the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, the world would take notice. Remember, John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what sets the captive. And Jesus, he wants to make his triumphal entry into your home, into your workplace, even into this church. Amen? Into your conversations, into your own hearts, and into the hearts of others. There's a chorus we used to sing called "Lift Jesus Higher." Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, "If I be lifted from the earth, I will draw all men. I will draw all men. I will draw all men unto me." I think we all want to be a servant. We all want to lift Jesus higher. I believe that. But we have to get past our human stubbornness, don't we? Just like that donkey. All those fears and anxieties that keep us from doing those things. Like I said, God doesn't make anybody serve. you have a choice. He's looking for those who have a willing heart. In Psalm chapter 110, verse 3, the first part of this verse I found very interesting. Your people shall be, what does it say? Volunteers in the day of your power. God's looking for somebody who has a willing heart. I believe that this was demonstrated on the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 47. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and delivered them among all and anyone who had need. And so continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And what does it say? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were to be saved. See what happens when you lift up Jesus? Amen? Now, I could go on. I could go on and go on about this. But again, let me close by saying this. If you're here and you're thinking, but what difference can I make? Who am I that God would use me? I want you to keep this in mind. When coaches are trying to win a game, they don't look at who looks best in the uniform. They look at who performs the best on the field. Don't be concerned about appearance, but rather have that willing heart. Amen? That's what's so important. The kingdom of God, the Bible, Jesus teaches the kingdom of God starts off like that little mustard seed, but it's going to grow to become that great tree. If we will yield ourselves to the Master's use. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer.